And then the next thing in the bulletin is we're observing the Lord's table. And that's quite, actually quite providential and quite good, as we will, as you'll see why in the study. We finished last week the study of the flatterer and this man, the flatterer, and there were several good words of admonition. I even read to you one commentator who said that he believed the flatterer is probably the most wholesome and the most needful of all the characters in Bunyan's book. I don't know that I'll share that opinion necessarily, but he certainly is. We were given some very, very good and wise advice when we looked at the life of the flatterer. Now, after a while, Bunyan says, now after a while, they perceived afar off one coming softly and alone all along the highway to meet them. Then said Christian to his fellow, yonder is a man with his back toward Zion, and he's coming to meet us. He's coming back this way. Hopeful says, I see him. I see him. Let us take heed to ourselves now, lest he should prove a flatterer also. So he drew nearer and nearer, and at last he came up to them, and his name was Atheist. And he asked them whether they were going. We're going to Mount Zion. Why, then Atheist fell into a great laughter, a very great laughter. I remember my uncle Bill that was an atheist, my daddy's brother, and he would absolutely, he had the most wicked, heinous laugh. And any time anybody would mention God or refer to God or try to say grace at the table or anything, this man had the most vile laugh. It was all just quite funny. It was not just a laughter as in sharing joy. It's a laughter as in derision and mockery and slander. Then Atheist fell into a very great laughter. Christian said, what is the meaning of your laughter? The atheist said, I laugh to see what ignorant persons you are, to take upon you so tedious a journey, and yet you like to have nothing but travail for your pains. It just tickles him to death that these stupid people would walk on this path, take this difficult journey for nothing, for absolutely nothing. They're not going to have anything for their pains. Christian said, why, man, do you think we shall not be received? Received, he said. Received? There's not such a place as you dream of in all this world. What are you talking about? Don't think you'll be received. There's nothing to be received into. There's no such country. There's no such place as this that you think you're going. Received? There's no such place as you dream of in all this world. Of course, there's a little turn of phrase there, isn't there? In all this world. There's not in all this world. But of course, atheists couldn't see beyond this world, could he? Christian said, but there is in the world to come. Atheist says, when I was at home in mine own country, I heard, as you now affirm, and from that hearing I went out to see, and have been seeking this city these 20 years, but find no more of it than I did the first day I set out. Wow. 20 years. Now, if you remember, he had already gone farther than Christian and Hopeful at this point, because they met him coming back this way. He had already gone further than they've gone. 20 years is a long time to walk in the way. to turn around and go back. But he did. He certainly did. 20 years he had been going that way. See how we are surrounded with different enemies. No sooner had they escaped the self-righteous flatterer, but they met with the openly profane mocker. Aye, and he set out and went far too, yea, farther than they. But behold, he's turned his back upon all. And though he had been 20 years a seeker, yet now he proves he has neither faith nor hope, but ridicules all of that as a delusion. It's awful to think of. Oh, what a special mercy it is to be kept believing and persevering and not regarding the ridicule of the apostate. 20 years this man had been in the way, but turned back. Christian said, we have both heard and believe that there is such a place to be found. The atheist said, had not I, when at home, believed, I had not come thus far to seek. But finding none, and yet I should, had there been such a place to be found, for I have gone to seek it further than you. I am going back again and will seek to, you might want to underline this phrase, where he's going now. I'm going back, he says, to refresh myself with the things that I then cast away for hopes of that which I now see is not. Don't miss this. When a sinner who has never experienced the grace of God, but they have a profession, and they try to walk in the way of pilgrims for a long time, if they fall short of grace and they go back, I can assure you they are going to give vent to their passions as never before. Have you ever met a person who was devout Catholic or some other religion, and they have, but they never knew salvation in Christ, and they turn atheist? Typically, those people will become very vile, foul. Oftentimes, they will give rein to their sins like never before. Alcohol or drugs or riotous living or whatever. An atheist who is an atheist after having walked in the way, quote, quote, is typically a very vile sinner. They will give themselves to their sin. He said, I'm going back and I'm going to refresh myself with the things that I then cast away. All that stuff that I said I was leaving, I'm going back to it big. In a big way. That's the nature of sinners. Then said Christian, I made a comment in my book that a failing hypocrite, hardened in his unbelief, will, sooner or later, give full vent to his own evil passions. Then said Christian, the hopeful, his companion, is it true which this man hath said? Hopeful is just shocked that he would ask that. Take heed. He is one of the flatterers. Remember what it cost us once already for our hearkening to such kind of fellows. What? No, Mount Zion. Did we not see the delectable mountains at the gate of the city? Also, are we not now to walk by faith? Now, before I finish reading what he says here, his reaction to Christian asking, is it possibly true what this man says? Is it possibly true? Before I finish reading, I do want you to capture that thought there. He said, did we not see Did we not see from the Delectable Mountains the gates of the city? What's he doing? He's referring back to their own experience. Their own experience. Now, this is a very important part of, shall we call it, practical theology right here of Bunyan, and I certainly don't want you to miss it. Someone said the tastes and manifestations which the Lord gives His people of His goodness and of His glory which shall be revealed are of a singular service to them against destructive errors. In other words, your own experience of Christ can become a source of strength for you when you face this kind of difficulty, error. Thus, the weakest of saints are qualified to slight the most spacious objections of the proud, reasoning infidels. Perhaps they cannot, that is, those who are weak, maybe in faith or instruction, they cannot, in a way of argument, answer all their cavils, but they have experienced the truth. They have seen, heard, felt, tasted the Word of life and will not be disputed out of their spiritual senses. I like that phrase. They will not be disputed out of their spiritual senses. He says, did we not see ourselves in our own heart and experience whatever this fool is saying? Didn't we see the Delectable Mountains? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And Bunyan is saying to us, draw from that strength. Draw from that strength. Also, are we not to walk by faith? Let us go on, lest the man with the whip overtake us again. Remember the guy with the whip? We want that guy again. Let's go. You should have taught me that lesson, which I will round you in the ears withal. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. I say, my brother, cease to hear him, and let us believe to the saving of the soul. Well, Christian responds. Christian says, my brother, I did not put the question to thee, for that I doubted of the truth of our belief myself, but to prove thee, and to fetch from thee a fruit of the honesty of thy heart. And he did get the fruit, didn't he? What was the precious fruit that Christian got out of Hopeful in his response? He got the fruit of experience. He reminds him of experience. He reminds him of the Word of God. So he did fetch from him some precious fruit by putting this question. And by the way, notice who's talking, which characters, the dialogue here. The question came from Christian. The answer came from Hopeful. Bunyan is again setting each character in his place. Hopeful is the one who encourages Christian to go forward. Christian says, my brother, I did not put the question to thee, for that I doubted the truth of our belief myself, but to prove thee and to fetch from thee a fruit of the honesty of thy heart. As for this man, I know that he is blinded by the god of this world. Let thee and me go on, knowing that we have the belief of the truth, and no lie is of the truth. So he refers, Hopeful refers back, Christian refers back as well, and says, look, I know what we've experienced. And I had a conversation. Of course, Luke has done this. I've heard him do this. I've heard others. But one outstanding conversation to me when I was going back and forth to Abbeville, South Carolina with my mother before she moved, there was a lady who has some notoriety as an atheist in my hometown, an old lady. And she and I engaged every time we met each other. And she took me on there one day at the little shop where I was at home, and started, like this atheist, being loud and bold about disclaiming the truths of the Scripture and so on and so forth. And she kept saying, "Well, you believe so-and-so, and I don't believe da-da-da-da-da. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't believe that." And every time she would, I would say to her, the only argument that can't be argued with, the only argument that has no answer, all I would say to her is, all that proves, all you've proven is that you don't believe. That doesn't mean it isn't true. You haven't said anything that proves you're right. You haven't said anything that proves I'm wrong. All you have said is, I don't believe. And I said, that's a given. You don't believe because you are an unbeliever. I believe I am a believer. It's just that simple. And basically, that's the same argument as here. It's the argument of experience. Okay, you say all this is rubbish. That's fine. You say that. But I know what I have experienced. I've seen the Delectable Mountains. By faith, I have proved the Christ. And your unbelief doesn't affect me. It doesn't change me. It doesn't bother me. Okay? So he says to him, I wanted to fetch from you some or other truth. And he does fetch it. And it is their experience. And so he says, I know that this man is blinded by this world. And when people say to you, well, I don't believe so-and-so, just say, look, all that proves is what you said. You don't believe. I understand that. Because you're an unbeliever. You're lost. Doesn't prove anything. Hopeful says, now do I rejoice in the hope of glory, of the hope of the glory of God. So they turned away from the man, and he, laughing at them, went his way. Now, I want to tell you, Scott's comments on this are quite valuable, well worth our reading. Scott said, some false professors gradually renounce the truth as it is in Jesus, but others openly set themselves against all kinds of religion, and turn to scoffers and infidels. Indeed, none are more likely to become avowed atheists than such as have for many years hypocritically professed the gospel. Do you know that in countries where Romanism reigns, and I keep referring to Romanism as true of other religions, but I refer to that because I know the most of it. In countries where Romanism reigns, did you know that most Catholic priests are actually functioning atheists? By the time they find themselves set in a place, they go ahead with the duties, they carry out the stuff they were taught, they perform the sacraments and all the things that they know the system of religion they're in, they're comfortable in it, and they continue to do it. But if you can talk to them over a few beers, as they say in Ireland, you know, get them in the pub and they get a few beers in them, they will tell you openly they don't even believe God exists. They're practical, functional atheists. No more likely, Scott says, there are none more likely to become avowed atheists than such as have for many years hypocritically profess the gospel. For they often acquire an acquaintance with the several parts of religion, their connection with each other, and the arguments with which they're supported, so that they know not where to begin if they would oppose any particular doctrine or precept or revelation. Yet they hate the whole system. And having never experienced those effects from the truth which the Scripture ascribes to it, they feel that if there be any reality in religion, their own case is very dreadful, and they wish to shake off this mortifying and alarming conviction. And as they have principally associated with loose professors, and since they have witnessed much folly and wickedness among them, they willingly take up a bad opinion of all who pretend to piety. And so they make a desperate plunge and treat the whole of religion as an imposter and a delusion. Thus God, in an awful judgment, permits Satan to blind their eyes. Men set out with a dead faith and a worldly heart, and at length they occupy the seat of the scorner. It never fails. Good word from Scott right there. It's those who are of a false profession who will become the most bitter enemies of the cross. Because they have walked where they should have been in light, but they actually had no light at all. And so they begin to proclaim that there is no light. That the light doesn't even exist. And I'm sure all of you could stand and testify of having met such persons in your life. I can assure you, if you're in a truly Catholic country, you will meet a lot of them, because many, many just local parish priests are functional atheists, and for a very good reason. They have no light at all. All right, so we cover atheists. That's one whole character. We'll begin and pick up there. Now, anybody, any questions or comments? John, or any of you gentlemen want to make any further comment on atheist? Oh, by the way, I didn't say that I'd done some reading. The fact is, the reason I thought this was quaint in our bulletin, that we had the atheist listed in the next thing's the Lord's Supper, is that the many commentators refer to the fact, and I'm sure you know it as well, that the greatest atheist, the most dangerous atheist, is the one that is in my own heart. My own heart. And when I examine my own heart, I, more often than I wish, I find that I am, in fact, a practicing atheist. Because I'm very quick to deny God His place and His truth. And it is the atheist within, somebody used that expression in my reading, it's the atheist within that is the one that gives me the greatest grief.
No offense to some present, but that was one of Van Til's biggest points, is that sometimes those within the church who may still yet, in fact, be within the fold are aids to the enemy, in that while they decry atheism as a system, and they do so loudly, they are in fact still practical atheists. And while they denounce the system, they practically demonstrate it by their denial of God's sovereignty and their excusing themselves submission to His commandments.
Yep. Butler points out that it's only the higher class of minds. Now, this is an important point. I don't want to puff up any of you gentlemen who have struggled with questioning God's existence. But I'll just tell you what Butler said. Butler points out that it is only the higher class of minds that are tempted with speculative difficulties such as these. Coarse, commonplace, and mean-minded men have their probation appointed them among coarse, mean, and commonplace things. Whereas enlightened, enlarged, and elevated men are exercised after the manner of Robert Bruce, Thomas Halliburton, and John Bunyan, and Butler himself. He's saying that it's only men with an exalted intelligence struggle with these kinds of questions. The common man will have a great difficulty here. It's the man who thinks on a higher plane who's going to struggle somewhere with this serious question. And it'll come back. And it'll come back. Because he is entertaining thoughts at a level that are in this very area. God Himself. The person of God Himself. So, again, not trying to puff anybody up. I'm just saying, if you've had struggle with that, just know that is common to men with elevated thinking. That's his words, not mine. Now listen to this in closing. Cottage Lectures. Oh, my brethren, what a deplorable character is the atheist. A man who has actually believed the lie which the father of lies has hatched for the ruin of sinners, but which he cannot swallow himself. Such a man is the astonishment of the universe. Angels in heaven believe and adore. Devils in hell believe and tremble. None but fools in this ruined world say in their heart, there is no God. You get it? Angels in heaven believe and adore. Devils in hell believe and tremble. It's nothing but a fool in this world that would doubt God. Have we, my brethren, never met with such a character? A man who actually laughs at the true Christian's hope of heaven and fear of hell? How is such a desperate character generally formed? He sets out with a dead faith and a worldly heart, and at length occupies the seat of the scorner. The man was always a hypocrite, even when he professed to be seeking after God. He never sought, sincerely and truly, the renewing power of the Holy Spirit to be exerted upon him. Thus he has never experienced those effects from the truth which the Scriptures assign to it. He loved not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, and therefore he is left in righteous judgment to believe a lie. And now, like his father the devil, who was first an apostate and then a seducer, he tries earnestly to corrupt others and tells those whom he meets that all religion is only a cunningly devised fable. The young and the unestablished are turned aside or injured by this deadly poison. But the experienced Christian who knows in whom he has believed cannot be hurt by it. There is no arguing against experience. There is no arguing against experience. We have known him by faith. And you will never debate us out of that experience. You may win the debate, but it is still error, and we will not follow it. Atheist, quite a character. It's the atheist within us all that causes us so much grief. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Help us, O Lord. Satan never tires to come. He never tires. He never tires to assault the castle again and say to us, you're a fool. He'll laugh. He'll mock. He'll call us names. But he cannot rob us of this truth, this that faith has planted in our heart. We know whom we have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Help us to turn our ears deaf to him and to follow on. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.